Hello, I'm Maria Titizian, and this is The Week in Review. Every week, we bring you the stories shaping Armenia and the region.
From politics and policy to social issues and conflict, we break down the news and what it means for you.
This week in the news, Azerbaijani forces open fire on Armenian territory for the second day in a row. Yerevan hosts the second edition of Yerevan Dialogue, and Armenians mark the independence of the First Armenian Republic on May 28. These stories and more in our weekly roundup of the news. Azerbaijani forces have fired on Armenian territory in Syunik for the second consecutive day, according to Armenia's Ministry of Defense. On May 29, Azerbaijani units opened fire toward the village of Khosnavar, damaging a residential home. No casualties were reported, and Armenia's Defense Ministry called on Baku to investigate the incident and issue a public explanation. In the early morning hours of May 30th, Azerbaijani forces again targeted Khosnavar. This time, the gunfire damaged a home and killed a livestock animal. The Armenian government has accused Azerbaijan of escalating tensions by repeatedly targeting civilian areas, while Azerbaijani officials have denied the attacks. Baku claims Armenia is spreading disinformation to provoke international outrage and justify future actions. Azerbaijan's defense ministry insists its forces never target civilians or civilian infrastructure. Border residents, however, say gunfire from the Azerbaijani side has become a regular occurrence. The second edition of Yerevan Dialogue, organized by Armenia's foreign ministry, took place on May 26-27 under the theme Navigating the Unknown. The forum focused on emerging geopolitical shifts, prospects for peace and security, growing economic tensions, and the potential of regional cooperation, including expanded connectivity and trade. The event brought together around 400 participants from over 40 countries, including high-level officials, representatives of international organizations, academics, and policy experts. Notable guests included the Prime Minister of Slovakia and the foreign ministers of France and Hungary. Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan and Foreign Minister Arad Mirzoyan delivered opening remarks. Pashinyan reiterated Armenia's readiness to sign a peace treaty with Azerbaijan, stating that once signed, the agreement would carry the highest legal force in Armenia. If the Constitutional Court finds the treaty unconstitutional, he pledged to initiate amendments and lead a public campaign to explain its significance. He also highlighted Armenia's Crossroads of Peace initiative, which proposes reopening regional transport routes for bilateral, international, and transit use. He emphasized the principles guiding the proposal: territorial integrity, sovereignty, jurisdiction, and reciprocity, and noted its potential to help ease global supply chain disruptions. Armenia, he said, is prepared to facilitate cargo transit from Western Azerbaijan to Nakhichevan through its territory and expects reciprocal access for Armenian cargo in return. On the sidelines of Yerevan Dialogue, Armenian officials held a series of bilateral meetings with international guests, including one between the prime ministers of Armenia and Slovakia. During their talks, Prime Minister Pashinyan emphasized the importance of deepening ties with Slovakia, describing Robert Fico's visit as a valuable opportunity to identify priority areas and chart a roadmap for future cooperation. He highlighted significant potential for collaboration across multiple sectors. Pashinyan thanks Slovakia for supporting Armenia's regional peace agenda and for backing the EU monitoring mission's presence in the region. He also expressed appreciation for Slovakia's role in facilitating Armenia's participation in the European Peace Facility and its support for visa liberalization talks with the EU. The two leaders discussed boosting trade and economic ties with a focus on industry, agriculture, and energy. They also explored potential cooperation in nuclear energy and defense, fields where both countries share similar capabilities. At a joint press conference, Pashinyan announced he had accepted Fico's invitation to visit Slovakia, calling it a natural continuation of the growing political dialogue between the two countries. Prime Minister Fico singled out nuclear energy as a promising area of cooperation, noting that the two countries operate the same type of reactors. He proposed collaboration between their specialized companies, particularly in managing spent nuclear fuel. Fico also spoke about defense cooperation, suggesting that smaller nations like Armenia and Slovakia should work to develop their own military capabilities. He pointed to dual-use defense projects, such as hospitals and roads, as examples of how defense investments can also serve broader infrastructure needs. During the forum, Armenian Foreign Minister Ararat Mirzoyan met with his French counterpart Jean-Noël Barrot, The two held a joint press conference following their meeting. Mirzoyan announced the signing of a declaration of intent aimed at deepening cooperation between the Armenian and French foreign ministries. He described the Armenia-France relationship as a carefully shaped mosaic, now forming the basis of a strategic partnership. Baro confirmed that Yerevan and Paris are working toward a formal strategic partnership agreement, which would further solidify their ties and map out long-term cooperation, including in the defense sector. He also announced that France will open an honorary consulate in Sunik on June 2nd, with Carmen Abuntz, head of the Francophonie Center in Goris, appointed as honorary consul. Meanwhile, Armenia and Russia are still in talks about opening a Russian consulate in Gapan, first proposed back in 2022. Armenia's foreign ministry confirmed this week that discussions are ongoing. And last Friday, Prime Minister Pashinyan announced that Armenia will host the 8th European Political Community Summit in the spring of 2026. He also welcomed the decision to hold the summit in Azerbaijan in 2028, noting that the two countries had mutually supported each other's bids to host the event. On May 28, Armenia marked First Republic Day, commemorating its 1918 Declaration of Independence. In his address, Prime Minister Pashinyan reflected on the legacy of the First Republic and the challenges of building a modern Armenian state. He said the First Republic planted the seeds of democracy and freedom, though they didn't have time to take root. While Soviet rule tried to erase the idea of Armenian statehood, independence was reclaimed in 1991, and today, Armenia faces the challenge of fully embracing its sovereignty. Pashinyan outlined five truths he said define the ideology of a real Armenia. Armenian identity is tied to statehood. The republic within its recognized borders is a hard-won achievement, not a symbol of loss. History teaches us what not to repeat. Security cannot be outsourced. We must be our own guarantors. And finally, that statehood and freedom come with responsibility. He closed by saying Armenia has entered a decisive new phase, one where pessimism and despair no longer define the nation's path forward. Armenia's human rights defender Anhait Manasyan has voiced serious concern over a draft law that would allow conscripts to significantly reduce their mandatory military service in exchange for substantial payment. Under the proposal approved by the Armenian government last week, conscripts would have the option to serve just 1 month of military duty by paying approximately $60,000 or 4 months by paying about $45,000. In a public statement, Manasyan warned that the bill risks deepening social inequality by creating a system in which military obligations are tied to financial means, violating the principle of equality and the prohibition against discrimination. She emphasized that the proposal would result in an unfair distribution of what is a constitutional duty, enabling wealthier individuals to bypass longer service terms solely due to their ability to pay. From a social justice perspective, Manasyan said such an approach is unacceptable. She further stressed that service members must be protected from all forms of discrimination and warned that introducing financial privileges into the ranks could undermine military discipline and cohesion, an especially dangerous prospect in a country facing persistent security challenges. The draft law was expected to be reviewed by the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Defense and Security this week. However, the session was postponed, reportedly due to internal dissent within the ruling civil contract party. Defense Minister Suren Babikyan instead held a closed-door meeting with the civil contract parliamentary faction to discuss the legislation. Meanwhile, civil society organizations have urged the government to withdraw the draft law, calling it unconstitutional. They argue that the proposed reforms could further exacerbate existing human rights concerns within Armenia's armed forces. In other news, the Zangezur Copper Molybdenum Combine is demanding 4.7 billion Armenian dirhams, that's $12 million, from 8 former employees who went on strike earlier this year and were later dismissed. The company claims the amount reflects damages caused by their absence from work. The strike, which took place in January, was the first wildcat strike in the history of independent Armenia. Workers were demanding better conditions and higher wages. And a senior U.S. State Department official was in Yerevan Thursday to discuss U.S.-Armenia relations and the Armenia-Azerbaijan peace process. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Southern Europe and the Caucasus, Josh Huck, met with Foreign Minister Mirzoyan, calling it a great meeting focused on strengthening bilateral ties and advancing peace efforts. Talks also touched on regional security and the near-finalized Armenia-Azerbaijan peace treaty. Mirzoyan and Security Council Secretary Armen Grigoryan both emphasized the urgency of signing the agreement. However, Baku continues to demand constitutional changes in Armenia and a land corridor to Nakhichevan, threatening military action if conditions are not met. Huk then traveled to Baku, where he met with Azerbaijani Foreign Minister Ceyhun Bayramov. The two discussed the current state and prospects of the Armenia-Azerbaijan peace process, with the Azerbaijani side outlining what it described as obstacles to progress. The delegations also addressed U.S.-Azerbaijan relations, with a particular focus on energy cooperation. And as always, some of the articles that we published this past week, one by Rafi Kasarjian, he has a column called Tech Matters, and his article is called Riding the AI Juggernaut, and it's all about artificial intelligence, and he writes that it's evolving at breakneck speed, reshaping industries, accelerating innovation. He explores the exponential growth in data, algorithms, and processing power, highlighting how Armenia, although small, but is carving out its place in the global AI value chain. The next piece is by our staff writer, Hovhannes Nazaretyan, about a recent CRRC survey, and it's called Armenians Want Peace, Expect War. The survey reveals Armenians overwhelmingly desire peace, but as the title suggests, expect war amid deep security fears, political disillusionment, and shifting geopolitical loyalties. The data highlights public anxiety, fading optimism, and the complex legacy of war and diplomacy. And another piece by Datevik Hayrabedian, she does these pieces for us all the time, where she does a deep dive into Azerbaijani rhetoric and language that's used. And this time she looked at school textbooks and also fairy tales. And it's the piece is called Fairy Tales, Textbooks, and Territorial Claims, Weaving the Myth of Western Azerbaijan. And she writes that Azerbaijan has institutionalized the notion that Armenia is Western Azerbaijan through state-sanctioned textbooks, children's literature, and academic curricula. Intensified since the 2020 war, this narrative reflects expansionist ambitions that extend beyond Nagorno-Karabakh, even as peace talks continue. It's quite a long, exhaustive piece. And as always, as a reminder, you can listen to our audio articles. All of our articles are accompanied by their audio versions. And finally, a really interesting piece by one of our columnists, Alicia Vartanian, called You Can't Force Love, Moscow's Courting of the South Caucasus Stalls. And she writes that Russia's recent diplomatic push in the South Caucasus revealed more strain than strength. And this was about Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's visit to Armenia. Her analysis unpacks Moscow's faltering influence in Armenia and Azerbaijan as the region edges further from its traditional power center. And that's the kind of week it's been here in Armenia. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and peaceful weekend, and we will be back again next week.